You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Arkansas is about halfway through preseason camp. The Razorbacks a little under 3 weeks away from their game against Cincinnati to open the season on September the 3rd at Razorback Stadium. Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. And this is kind of that point in the preseason where it's like, okay, let's get it over with. Let's get to the season. It's almost like, you know, they say dog years. It's, you know, a lot faster than human years. It's like preseason camp. It's a lot faster than maybe normal day-to-day life. I know a lot of the players, you know, they're still kind of early in their time being in pads, Scotty, but it just feels like now it's the point, let's get out of this kind of installation, reacclimation mode, and let's get into preparation for these games.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of right there too. Like, I feel like we can only ask so many different guys, like how many strides they've made since the spring, or what's, you know, your new position coach like. And I think they're ready for some game action. And I think that, you know, last week, you know, the guys were working a couple of days in full pads, or at least one day in full pads. I had a lighter day, I think, Friday before the scrimmage on Saturday. I think those scrimmages that, you know, Arkansas is holding, that they held last Saturday and again this weekend, I think those are kind of, I guess, checkpoints for guys during the preseason. You know, you get through both of those scrimmages, things are a little bit more set in stone. Not to say that they couldn't change, obviously, in a couple of weeks after that leading up to the first game, but things become a little clear on both sides of the ball. And I think guys are tired of talking, and I think they're kind of tired of beating up on each other already. And I think they're just, yeah, they're about probably ready to get out of camp too.
Both of you were out there at practice again Tuesday morning. They're having practices in the mornings all this week. Classes start at the U of A next week, and that's when they'll go into kind of a more what I would say normal schedule, where they've got late afternoon practices. But what were your thoughts being out there this morning, Scotty?
Yeah, we got to see a little bit of the fastball start again. And one of the things that jumped out with the first team on defense is they went with a three down front. They had Eric Gregory working on the left end, Isaiah Nichols in the middle over the ball, and Zach Williams on the right side. That, I don't think that we had seen that before. But we did know that Eric Gregory was, you know, bouncing in and out. Just, I think that's just a way for the coaching staff to be able to utilize his versatility, because one of the things that I think I took away from today's media availability when we talked to Deke Adams was just that, you know, Eric Gregory can really run. And I think Deke Adams said that Eric can really run like a linebacker. And so I think they want to kind of get him, you know, a little bit more accustomed to playing on the edge. And on the interior, just because he's so valuable and talented. He got pretty good feet. As far as the offense is concerned, KJ Jefferson had a nice completion to Trey Knox, I think, on an out route for, I think, maybe 15 or 20 yards. That was, I think, kind of the highlight of the offense. None of the running backs really got loose for a run. We did see, I think, Bryce Stevens had a nice catch from Malik Hornsby. I think Stevens, he just kind of ran to the marker and just kind of sat, and Malik put a pass on him, probably, you know, 12 to 15 yards somewhere in there. I watched quite a bit of the receivers and running backs again. Jimmy Smith's just so high energy, man. And I really like him. And one of the things that I think is really evident with this group is that he doesn't have to repeat himself, because he's got a lot of attentive listeners in that bunch. And it's a group that's been around largely since the spring, so they kind of know what the deal is. And as far as the receivers, they were working on locking the ball up, you know, when they catch a swing pass and trying to get up the sidelines. And Kenny Guyton one time said to Matt Landers, he said, if you tuck that thing and you get skinny, meaning trying to get between the corner who would, you know, hypothetically be covering him and the sideline, that can turn into a big play just because he's got, you know, kind of game breaking speed.
A lot of what we saw today, has what we've been seeing all through camp, was a lot of the same drills and a lot of the same structure. The biggest difference was probably that they started early in the morning, so it wasn't 100 degrees out yet. It was only about 80 or so, so didn't feel too bad out there. But some of the things that stood out to me today were Dowell Loggins getting on the tight end group quite harshly, I might add. He was throwing in a few not so nice words about them not getting the ball back to whoever was throwing them when they were running routes into the end zone. And then when they wide receivers and DBs did a little simulated, like the wide receivers would catch it and turn up field and the DBs would just supposed to wrap them up and not tackle them. But Jalen Catalon came in like a bowling ball and just mowed over Harper Cole, I think it was, and just
laid him out. Yeah.
Sent him about 5 yards backwards. And I mean, it wasn't like malicious, but it was just like momentum just carried him and just rocked him in a drill that wasn't supposed to be that physical, I would think.
Andrew bringing up Catalon reminded me of what, you know, anytime Arkansas goes to a three down front, they're doing that so they can get an extra DB on the field. And with that first team defense in the fastball starts, they had Latavius Brinney out there at safety along with Simeon Blairs. I think that's the first time, maybe the first time, at least that I've seen that Brinney has been running with the ones. And then Ladarius Bishop was running with the first team at corner and Malik Chavis got bumped down to second team. I would imagine that Malik Chavis is their guy and they're just kind of seeing what Ladarius Bishop could do with a few reps with the ones.
With Brinney, Pippen made a comment about him after the scrimmage over the weekend. Basically, he kind of likened him to Jaden Hazelwood and said Hazelwood during the spring never really showed them, you know, quite what they thought his ceiling was. He didn't say it that way, but that's, you know, basically what he was saying. And he kind of likened Brinney to that same thing, Scotty, is that in the spring, it seemed like it was kind of a, you know, he's learning a new system, kind of getting acclimated to his, you know, new surroundings, a new environment. And now the, you know, the feeling I got listening to Sam Pittman talk about this Georgia transfer is that he thinks that, you know, there's still a pretty good upward trajectory for him, even for being an older player. And then it sounds like he's going to get into the lineup quite a bit. It's just maybe taking him a while to get to that point.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like if you would have asked me, what were your takeaways from Latavius Brinney in the spring? I would have been like, yeah, I'm not really exactly sure what to tell you, but I know that in one of the practices we saw, I think after I got back from the NCAA tournament, I think the spring was, you know, we're in the latter stages of the spring. I remember that he, you know, had a little bit of a hamstring deal. And I think that's about really all I remember from him. But I think it's interesting to see the three safeties right now with that first group. It's Catalon, who's your veteran voice and your leader, captain. Brinney's another guy with SEC experience, comes from a really, really good program, probably taught really well there. And then Simeon Blair's another vet. And so I think you like the veteran leadership you have back there. I don't think you can have enough voices that you can go to. Like a guy like Miles Slusher, like he's a younger guy, but, you know, he's in that secondary with three older guys who have kind of been there, been around the game for a long time. I mean, I think that's invaluable to have guys that have played quite a bit. I think that's a really unique looking secondary for Arkansas, especially when they go three down and get another DB on the field, to have that extra guy come on, be a veteran. I think that's pretty cool.
I'm going to use a baseball analogy here for a minute. You know, back before the 2022 baseball season started, I was talking to the Arkansas pitching coach, Matt Hobbs. And, you know, I basically asked him, I said, doesn't it feel like your pitching staff is better collectively this year than last year? And he said, yeah. And doesn't it feel kind of weird to say that because you're losing the National Player of the Year in Kevin Copps and you're losing this 3-year starter in Patrick Wicklander. And there was another one or two in there that they didn't have back. With receivers, it kind of feels like that with this Arkansas football team. You know, they lose this really great player in Treylon Burks, but Sam Pittman was in Little Rock on Monday speaking to the Little Rock Touchdown Club. And the comments that we've gotten from him, really the last three times that we've heard him speak, is that this receiver play is a lot further along than maybe they anticipated it would be. And there's a real excitement in his voice, I think, when you hear him talk about this receiving core. And it's because players like Jaden Hazelwood have stepped up and, you know, in Pittman's words, basically, you know, almost become like a new player since what they saw or versus what they saw in the spring. I think they love what they're seeing out of Matt Landers. They're getting some consistency out of some of these other players who have returned. It sounds like they really love this freshman class. I don't think I've heard Sam Pittman speak in the last 2 weeks without mentioning Isaiah Satania and the development that, you know, he's had in a real short amount of time and just the good things that he's shown them on the practice field. I think he really loves this receiver group. And that to me has been the really surprising aspect, I think, of this training camp. I mean, this was something that we were talking 3-4 weeks ago. Can they come close to matching the production they had a year ago? And then that's still a question, but I think the optimism that they can is so much greater now than it was 3-4 weeks ago that it's hard to even, you know, just really qualify by how much.
Yeah. And it's been interesting to hear Sam and different position coaches talk about the receivers, whether it's Kenny Guyton or Dominic Bowman. You know, you feel pretty good about Jaden Hazelwood, Keetron Jackson, Matt Landers. And, you know, you always, like you said, Matt, like you always hear Isaiah Satania's name. Bryce Stevens has shown some flashes. I think Jaden Wilson did too. Remember, Jaden Wilson had the first big play of fall camp when he caught a deep ball from Malik Hornsby. The guy nobody's talking about is Warren Thompson. And he might be one of the more physically impressive receivers. Like, he's a legit 6'3 or 6'4, big bodied guy. Can go up and catch contested passes. We've seen him do that in camp. He's dusted Hudson Clark a couple times in one-on-ones. I think he kind of likes that matchup there. But I think Warren is a guy that last year, you know, we were worried a little bit or concerned a little bit about, you know, the number of drops. I think he had like 3 in a game. I think it was maybe against UAPB. That's a game that, you know, you want to just show out if possible. Didn't happen for him in that game. And I think personally, I had some question marks with him just in terms of him being solely a possession receiver. Like, you see a guy that looks like Warren Thompson, you want him to catch passes and then make things happen after the reception. And he, a lot of times, would catch and then immediately fall on his backside. He's too good to be doing that. And I think you're seeing him make some strides. I think he's kind of quietly having a really good camp and solidifying maybe that top 4 at receiver. I think Sam said that Warren was maybe one of the more improved guys at receiver in a position that, you know, a lot of guys have been standing out.
Yeah, I think you kind of need to have guys like Warren Thompson and Keetron Jackson, who are in that receiving room last year, step up. Because when you compare this year's depth chart to last year's, you're not going to have another Treylon Burks. I think he was kind of a generational player for the Razorbacks, and him alone was enough to elevate that, or at least give them a solid floor in the receiving game and give them a viable option, just because even if he wasn't open, he could still catch the ball. But I think when you look at this year's receiving core, you have so many different guys that are going to be able to get open with the size and speed combination that they have in Matt Landers, Warren Thompson, and Jaden Hazelwood. And then I think when you have that many different guys that you can spread the ball around to, your offense can't key in on one guy like they might have done with Treylon Burks last year.
I was going to say that exact same thing. I think, you know, Warren Thompson or Matt Landers kind of solidifying that top 4, it kind of disallows defenses, you know, paying too much attention to one guy just because you've got, you know, so many weapons spread around the field, and Landers can burn you with the speed. Warren Thompson's a deep ball threat. We saw that kind of early last year and sprinkled, you know, throughout the schedule. Keetron Jackson, I think, is another guy that's a breakout candidate legitimately. I mean, he was Arkansas's top recruit a couple of years ago. I mean, he's legit, more looking the part now than Hazelwood. I've got no concerns really about him. I think he's a gamer, and he's been bringing it in practice too, obviously this fall, more so than maybe he did in the spring. So I just think that there's lots of options now at receiver, maybe a lot more than you feel a lot more comfortable than you did maybe when Sam Pittman was saying maybe it was a little bit of a concern back in media days.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas, where you always get the best service and the best buying experience in the state.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
The Associated Press Top 25 poll came out on Monday. The Razorbacks are ranked number 19 by the AP in the preseason. Cincinnati, who Arkansas will play first, is ranked 23rd in that poll. Arkansas is going to play five teams that are ranked in the AP Top 25 preseason poll. Of course, they're going to play Alabama. The Crimson Tide are ranked number one in that poll. They're ranked number one in the coaches' poll as well. Texas A&M is ranked number 6. Ole Miss is ranked number 21. And BYU is ranked number 25 in the AP preseason poll. And most of those games are on the front half of the season. So Arkansas is really going to have its work cut out for it over the first 6 or 7 weeks. Like we've said a number of times, there's, you know, you hear coaches all over the place say, you know, we've got the hardest schedule, this, that. Arkansas has really got a tough schedule these first 7 weeks, especially when you look at the preseason poll. There's some teams that they're going to play in that time period too that are not ranked but received votes in the poll. South Carolina received votes in the poll. And then you even think about a Missouri State, who they ought to be able to beat. But Missouri State's probably going to be a top 20, top 25 team in the FCS poll when it comes out here later this month. Your thoughts on the AP poll, Scotty? I mean, we talked about the coaches poll a couple of weeks ago when it came out. Arkansas ranked number 23rd in that one. The Democrat Gazette, Whole Hog Sports, all of our affiliations, we use the AP poll as our poll of record until the college football playoff poll comes out in late October. So we give a little bit more credence to the AP poll. This one, I guess, means a little bit more to me because it's the one that, you know, we're going to be referencing more. It seems like the voters like the Razorbacks just a tad bit more than the coaches do.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Tom was on the pod maybe late last week and was saying that he thinks he put, if I'm remembering right, I think he put Arkansas about 15.
I think that's right.
And then, you know, I think there's obviously a consensus that Arkansas is a top 25 team. So I think to land at 19, I think there's some variance where Arkansas is, you know, anywhere from 15 to 25. And then, you know, they pretty much split the middle there. I think it's about right. Just kind of, I thought Arkansas in the preseason would be anywhere from, you know, that 19 to 23, 24 range. So they fall right in there. I think the coolest thing to me is, you know, looking at Tom's Razorback report on the website today, is that Arkansas, first time Arkansas will be ranked playing a ranked team in their season opener for the first time in 42 years. That's a pretty big deal. Obviously the first time that's happened in my lifetime. And this ain't, you know, Eastern Illinois, Northern Illinois coming in here. It's a team that went 13-1 last year and got a lot of high expectations, really good coach, and a lot of good playmakers on their roster. So first game, can't get here fast enough for me.
You mentioned Tom Murphy and what he had to say on the podcast. We'll play that clip for you. Keep in mind, this was before the AP poll was released, but after Tom had turned in his ballot.
I've got the Razorbacks at number 15, and I view the poll as just a snapshot of A, how you finished last year, and then B, your returning talent, not like who you play this season, because it's going to be hard for Arkansas, just like it was last year after they started 4-0 and, you know, upset Texas and A&M in those first four games. They rose up to number 8. Well, that was always going to be hard to maintain because you still had Bama, LSU, Auburn, a bunch of tough teams, Ole Miss on your schedule, and Georgia. So I think they're deserving of around in the teens, around 15. I think I saw them in that position in a lot of other magazines and online polls. The coaches, I think, undervalued the SEC West because Ole Miss was behind Arkansas. I think it was 23-24, and then LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State weren't in it. I mean, obviously, Alabama and A&M were both in the top 10, Bama being one. Arkansas, I don't believe, you know, they're not going to go undefeated. So I think 15 is probably a good spot for them to start the season.
As Scotty mentioned, it'll be the first time that Arkansas has been ranked for a season opener and playing a ranked team since 1980 when they played Texas. The last time that Arkansas opened a season against a ranked opponent was 2 years ago when Georgia came to Fayetteville. The last time they opened with a ranked non-conference opponent was 2006 for a game against Southern Cal at Razorback Stadium. They lost both of those games. Each day on the Whole Hog Football Preseason Podcast, we take a closer look at a different position on the Razorbacks roster. Today, we'll talk about the offensive line. This is a unit that you feel pretty good about, I think, if you're an Arkansas fan, because you got a lot of players back. You've got the, you know, what I kind of call the heart of the line, your guards and your center, Ricky Stromberg, Bo Limmer, Brady Latham. All of those three started a year ago. Also back is Dalton Wagner, the starting right tackle, although he is in a little bit of a position battle right now with Tykeus Crawford. The feeling is that both of those players will play quite a bit. And then Luke Jones, who this time last year probably was in one of the most heated position battles with Brady Latham at left guard. He slid over to left tackle, the Notre Dame transfer, older player, probably going to be their starting tackle on the left side in game one against Cincinnati. It's a good group. There are, you know, some talented, I think, freshmen and redshirt freshmen kind of waiting in the wings who are learning behind this starting five. And, you know, I mean, Sam Pittman comes to Arkansas. His pedigree is as this great offensive line coach. He built solid lines at North Carolina, at Arkansas, did it at Georgia, obviously, before he came back to Fayetteville as the head coach. And the feeling is that offensive line is going to be in really good hands for quite a while to come.
Yeah, I think the offensive line is probably the group that I think is the most solid, have the least concern about when you talk about getting all four returners back. And then Luke Jones isn't a guy that's coming in fresh from another school and trying to learn the playbook. He's already been here. He knows the playbook. And I think Cody Kennedy even mentioned that with that first string offensive line, he doesn't have a call to install that they don't already know, because Barry Odom has just thrown everything, every look and every possible blitz package that they could see at them already this camp. And so I think if I had to use one word to describe that offensive line, it would be prepared.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. I mean, it's a group that got 100 career starts under their belt, and you know, from left guard to right tackle, I mean, all of those guys are returning veteran guys, played a lot of snaps obviously. And I think the guy that I'm most intrigued to see more in live game action is Luke Jones. We haven't seen just a whole lot of him. I think he was more so like on the fronts in terms of like special teams and things like that. So that's obviously, you put guys on special teams that you trust. And, you know, with Myron Cunningham out of the picture now, Luke is, I think he's a guy that's kind of seamlessly transitioned into that starting role. You know, he was really sought after out of high school, Pulaski Academy, went to Notre Dame, transferred here. I think Cody Kennedy really likes him a lot. And, you know, I think Luke is a player who so far in camp is a guy that Cody Kennedy's not had to really get onto just a whole lot. Like, you know, might have his hands in the wrong place, or footwork might not be, you know, as ideal as you'd like, but it's not just, he's not standing out for the wrong reasons, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. And I think that's really important for a guy who, you know, kind of served as an understudy last year and now is getting his opportunity. And it seems like he's making the most of it.
The feeling in listening to Cody Kennedy and Sam Pittman speak is that Tykeus Crawford is going to get on the field this year. And we don't know if that's going to be as a starter. We don't know if that's going to be that they rotate the right tackles. Maybe Tykeus Crawford, you know, maybe there's an injury and he, you know, fits in at another position. But the feeling is that he's really improved. And, you know, we're talking about players like Latavius Breeny earlier and Jaden Hazelwood earlier and how far they've come from the spring. It kind of feels like that's where Tykeus Crawford is as well. But maybe they saw that a little bit, like his jump that he made, they saw that a little bit earlier, because we heard Sam Pittman, you know, really singing his praises at SEC Media Days in Atlanta back in July. Crawford's going to play somewhere. He's got that size that I think Pittman really likes. And then, you know, one of the comments that I thought was one of the most interesting this summer, Scotty, was just the fact that Sam was real honest about Dalton Wagner and the injury history that he's had that's kept him out of games. And they're not sure that he can play every snap of every game every week. And so there might be a little bit of a rotation going on there at right tackle if Crawford doesn't get onto the field at another position.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think that's something that a lot of the people who cover the team were kind of thinking, but not saying. And then Sam came out and said it and kind of gave us the freedom to go ahead and say it. You know what I mean? Like Dalton, just bless him. Like he just had, like, could you imagine being 6'8" and like whatever he weighs and having to bend down, bend over, go up against like these freaks of nature on the defensive line, like over and over and over and over again. He's having back issues, or he's had back issues in the past. And then you couple that with just like the game to game, you know, your body taking a beating just on the offensive line. That's, I personally cannot imagine that physical toll that it takes on you. But I think they do obviously have a really solid backup plan with Tyquise. I think he's, you know, outside of maybe the three guys that are in the, that make up the middle of the line, I think he's probably, I would probably say he's your fourth guy that you would say probably is, you know, up there in terms of talent.
I don't know who the eighth player would be, but I've heard Sam Pittman make this comment before that basically you want to have kind of your top eight offensive linemen identified somewhere 10 to 14 days out from the first game. We've talked about six of them, obviously the five starters and Crawford where he might fit in. I think a seventh would be Devin Manuel. You know, there was some thought that if Jones doesn't do well, or maybe if he gets injured at left tackle, maybe they slide Crawford over there to left tackle. I don't know that that's necessarily in the works anymore. It sounds like they're really impressed and happy with what Manuel has given them at their left tackle position. So he'd be number seven. Who do you think would be the candidates to be that eighth offensive lineman?
Right now, I might say Emarion Harris. And I don't know, Andrew Chamblee might be another option too. You got to think about it. Jalen St. John's also in that group. Patrick Kudus has been a guy that I think in the preseason, Sam Pittman said he was maybe most excited to see once practices started. But Cody Kennedy kind of went off and he answered a question on Monday just about guys who may be in the mix there. And then he segued into just like a long kind of glowing compliment on Emarion Harris and Andrew Chamblee, both guys that came in here like really, really big. Like both of those guys were like 380. I think he said Emarion Harris was over 400 pounds when he got to campus. And both of those guys have trimmed up to, I think, you know, 325, 330 range, somewhere in there, which are still very large humans. But to drop all that weight, I think that shows a real commitment to those guys and a real want to do whatever they have to do to get into that mix.
I think that goes back to what we've heard Pittman talk about in the past with the offensive line is that, you know, I mean, I remember when Georgia came in here 2 years ago in that first game that Pittman coached at Arkansas, and just the stark contrast that you saw in their offensive lineman and Arkansas's offensive lineman, or their defensive lineman and Arkansas's defensive lineman. And it really underscored the point that Pittman said that Arkansas has to get bigger to compete with the big boys in the SEC. And they've done that. But to your point about Harris and Chamblee, it's that they are recruiting linemen who look the part when they come in. Now you might have to trim some fat up. You know, you're going to mold them in a certain way to fit, you know, whatever position they're playing or whatever their body type is. But it goes to his point that they are bringing in linemen who look the part now, not an issue like what we had with Ricky Stromberg, you know, say 3-4 years ago, where he comes in at 266 pounds. You got to put all this weight on him to get him to look like an SEC offensive lineman. It just makes you think that, you know, when you hear him talking about Patrick Kutas or Andrew Chamblee or Emarion Harris as early as they are, you know, there's maybe not as much of a learning curve anymore for the offensive lineman as there has been in the past, which is to say that you might see these guys get onto the field in meaningful roles much earlier than in they previously would have.
I just want to say real quick, I misspoke on the two guys that have dropped all that weight. It's Emarion Harris and Devin Manuel. I think Devin Manuel is a guy that has has been a little bit banged up. And Cody Kennedy kind of mentioned that on Monday too, that, you know, there's an adjustment period for these freshmen. You know, they're coming from high school where they're the biggest, strongest guys on the field. And now everybody on the field is really strong. I think that's the way Cody put it. So it's just kind of the natural beating that your body takes when you're going against big people. But another point that Cody Kennedy made Monday was that he loves large human beings. And I wish I could have been in the room to ask him what his favorite part about just going out and recruiting these big guys is. But I think something interesting he said was it's his personal philosophy, or the way that he goes about things, is it's easier to bring in big guys and have them drop some weight rather than recruit guys who are maybe in that 275, 280, 290 range, and then put weight on them, because you can, you know, maybe sacrifice a little bit of your foot speed and just overall quickness there. But if you can find a big guy that's got good feet and good hands that can, you know, that can drop some weight, if he does drop some weight, it could, you know, in turn, you know, just increase quickness and strength and all that.
I think that was the Brandon Burlesworth story. That's what they did with him. One thing I think that this offensive line has got to improve on, a lot of people focus on the rushing stats from a year ago, where Arkansas ranked 7th nationally in rushing yards. They led all Power 5 teams in rushing yards. You know, they're behind, you know, the academies and, you know, some of the Group of 5 teams in rushing yards, but there wasn't another Power 5 team that ran the ball as well. Of course, Arkansas, I think, makes a little bit more commitment to running the ball than others do. One area, though, where I think this group really needs to improve, Scotty, is in their pass protection. Some of this has to do with having a mobile quarterback who's not afraid to get outside the pocket and move. But 30 sacks a year ago, that's a big number. I think that's going to be something where if they can trim that down into the, you know, probably lower 20 range, that could do wonders for them offensively.
Yeah, it really could. It's almost like, to use a basketball comparison, it would almost be like you want to maximize all your possessions, so you don't want to have turnovers. Obviously a sack isn't necessarily a turnover in football, but it ends the play, obviously, before you'd like for it to really get going or, you know, pick up yardage and whatnot. I remember in the offensive roundtable that I think that we did, I think one of the questions that I posed was, what would you consider with the offensive line an improvement over last season? And I think it obviously starts with sacks. You want to keep KJ on his feet, just because he's improved so much as a downfield passer. I think he's really good at getting the ball to his, you know, skill position guys in the flat. Obviously he can take off and run whenever he wants, but and find good success there. But I think too, another part of it is you want to maybe trim that number of tackles for loss too. Like, you don't just imagine if Arkansas eliminated some of those tackles for loss with its running backs or with KJ, imagine like the number of yards that you could have added to your rushing attack that, you know, obviously led Power 5 teams. I think that's a place that when it comes to, you know, time to kind of do the postseason autopsy, know, number of sacks and, you know, eliminating some of those tackles for loss, I think that would be the place that you look to see if Arkansas made an improvement over last season.
Yeah, I think the sack total, there's a number of ways for that to decrease, and it doesn't always have to do with the offensive line or maybe an extension of the offensive line and pass blocking from tight ends and running backs. And if it's any foreshadowing of the pass protection that we've seen from Rocket Sanders in the camp, that he's going to be able to hold his own against SEC linebackers, and he's going to be able to give KJ time in the pocket to get rid of the ball. And then on the other side, I think if you have all the guys we've talked about in the receiver room getting open quickly, it allows KJ to get the ball out faster and maybe lower those sack numbers without having to affect the offensive line a whole lot.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, sometimes these sack numbers can get skewed by other things that are happening on the football field. It's like crediting quarterbacks with wins. Sometimes it's not their fault that they won the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and sometimes a sack isn't on the offensive line. Like maybe it was you know, the offensive line can be doing everything that they're supposed to do on a given play, but it was the running back, you know, that allowed a linebacker off the edge to come make a play. But I think that's, to Andrew's point, Rocket has really improved in his pass protection. I think AJ Green too, and Dominic Johnson. I mean, he's a guy that seeks contact. I think he thrives on it, really. And I remember, I think it was the Texas game last year. He had a great blitz pickup that led to a, you know, a big momentum play in that game.
Yeah, I think it was a big pass to Warren Thompson down the sideline, or maybe it was Tyson Morris. I can't remember one of the two, but I remember that. That's exactly what I was thinking of, Scotty. I was thinking of that play with him and how good he was in pass coverage, or in pass protection a year ago. We'll have another podcast on Wednesday after another morning practice for the Razorbacks. For Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. Hope you go to wholehogsports.com and check out all of our football coverage. And we'll see you Wednesday on the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.